Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. Good evening, and happy Thursday to each and everyone. This is Apostle Willie Ann Miller coming to you. We thank and praise the Lord for our sponsor, Apostle Armstrong and Lady Armstrong. We always send a shout out to them, and we just decree long life with satisfaction. We decree divine health to Apostle Armstrong and Lady Armstrong. I just thank and praise the Lord for them. Thank God for what he's doing in their life. We continue to cover them with the blood of Jesus. Yes, we cover them with the blood of Jesus. I thank and praise the Lord. We've been in a series of teaching in Matthew 18 in his entirety. And I know sometimes people get tired of hearing or sound like I'm hearing the same thing. I know. But I learned a long time ago, it's never the final revelation in God's word. The word of God has so much more in it that I believe even when Jesus comes, we haven't as yet still retained all it is. It's so much a revelation. It's so much. And one promise of God, or the word of God, it is impact and fulfilled with revelation, with knowledge and understanding. And Jesus even said in John the 6th chapter, in the 63rd verse, he would tell me, he said, the words that I speak, they are spirit and life. And Jesus let us know when he spoke, they were not just printed on pages, but it was spirit life. And when we get the word of God on the inside of us, believe it or not, our life will be transformed. They will transform our spirit, and they will cause us to speak words of faith, driving out defeat and bringing victory. And as we've been focused on that, and the more I meditate on Matthew 18, well, like I said, the entire chapter of it, it have truly transformed my life. You know, God told Joshua after Moses was dead and Joshua to take the children of Israel on in to possess the promised land, he gave Joshua specific instructions. He told him to be strong and be very courageous. And then he began to tell him, as I was with Moses, so I'm going to be with you, Joshua. But he told Joshua to meditate on the word, the long, day and night. And then he kept coming, telling him to be strong and very courageous, that he was with him. But he told him by meditating on the word that he would come strong and it would prosper him. It will cause him to be success. He told me he'd be with him even as he was with Moses. And I'm telling, he told him, he said, you know, well, I'm turning to it to make sure I'm putting my eyes on it. That's something God been telling me. Make sure you put your eyes on it. But he said, there should not any man be able in that fifth verse to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, for unto those people shall thy devour for inherit the land, which I swear unto their father to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whatsoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. But then shalt thou make thy way prosper, then shalt thou have good success. And he kept telling him, I command you to be strong and very courageous, because God knows that battles what Joshua and the children of Israel were going to have to face before they were able to possess the promised land. You read the whole story, you know a lot of them did not go in the promised land because they did not follow God's instruction. They started rebelling against God. They was more focused on the giants. They were focused on their enemy more than they focused on the promise of what God had promised them. And like I said, in Mark 11, after we left Matthew, the 18th chapter, it led us to Mark 11 and 23. You know, we in a time like never before, we need to pray. But then I found out when it come down to the way that God would have us to pray as citizens in the kingdom, God have specific instructions. And that's something God done let me see more than ever. Y'all, we have a problem with following instructions. We do. When it come down to what God say, for the most, a lot of people have a problem with that because the instruction that God give us about our problem, about our situation, a lot of times it's so contrary. Why would I do this and this taking place? It's just like one of the things, really, I see forgiveness is a command. I see loving our neighbor as a command. But a lot of times, if you allow yourself the voice of reason to get to you and say, well, why should I forgive if they constantly mistreat me? Why should I sow when I ain't got no money? But, and that's the thing about it. That's why we was on Monday, we talked about Proverbs, the 4th chapter in the 20th verse. And he was saying, son, attend to my word. The living in the Message Bible said, don't lose focus of it or don't lose track of what my words say. And I'm telling you, the children, and sometimes, y'all, if we go back and really study the children of Israel when they exit when they came out of, when they exited from, you know, from Pharaoh, when they exited from Egypt, if we really get in there and study that, we'll find out they gave more attention and they focused more on their enemy. They surrounded more than they did the word of God. And I think all of us been there before. I don't think none of us can be little of nobody, but I found out in the kingdom, and it's a must. You and I, and in Colossians, it set your affliction on thing above. We have to, it's my responsibility to focus on and set my mind on what God's word say. That is a must. That's my responsibility. That's not God. And I find out when it come down to prayer, a lot of time, a lot of people have not followed the instruction, and you wonder why my prayers have not been answered. Y'all, just like Jesus said in John 6 and 63, he said, the words I speak are spirit and life. These are not words just filling a page. And we need the Holy Spirit to help us to rightly divide, or we need the Holy Spirit to help us, give us not only knowledge, but understanding and revelation of the word. Then we need wisdom to apply. But like I said, we went from Matthew 18, and I felt led to go in Mark 11. And like we said, in Mark 11, we found out that when it come down to prayer, we have to open up our mouth and say something. And Jesus was telling them in that 23rd verse, he was saying you have to speak to the mountain. He said, you have to say and tell it to be removed. That word, that when he said, use the word mountain, he talking about whatever hindering you or blocking you or keep you from reaping, succeeding, prospering, come on, defeating it, you got to speak to it. And I said this before I began to talk about Mark 11 a while back. It is so important. God is not going to do what he told Prophet Miller to do. I remember when I had a disc in my back with deteriorate, and I began to pray, and one night I woke up and I was in so much of pain, and I cried out and I said, Lord, why won't you heal me? And the Lord just stopped me in my track, and he sent me back to Isaiah, sent me back to Isaiah 53, and he said, Ann, he said, I done already healed you, but you don't believe that you heal because of the pain that you experiencing. He said, your faith is not lining up with my faith. See, and even in Mark 11 and 22, it tells us, it said, have faith in God. Now, some translations say have the God kind of faith. Now, Romans, the 12th chapter, it tells us that God then gave each one of us a measure of faith. We have God kind of faith in us. Yes, you do. You and I have God kind of faith. And that's why I said, speaking It have everything to do with your situation changing. And that's why all of us is in a forever process of learning about the kingdom. That's why Matthew 6:33 tell us to seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all these things will be added unto us. We have to learn how the kingdom of God works. It's just like we had to learn how, I had to learn how as a child, as I grow up, I had to learn how to honor and respect my parents. I had to learn how to obey them. Then as I grew up and got a job, I had to learn how to honor and respect the rules and regulation on that job. Then I got married. I had to learn how to submit to my husband. Not all the time, but I had to learn, you know. But there, too, again, the point is, a lot of time we just take it for granted. When it comes down to the Bible, the promise of the Bible, it just falls into place. That is not so. And like I stated on one of the series of teaching with this Matthew 18, God is sovereign, but people forget. And some people don't know. We're a free moral agent. We have a freedom of choice. Adam and Eve did not have a sin nature. Well, what caused them to disobey and rebel against what God said? It was not a sin nature, but it was their will. And why God did not stop them? Because God is not going to override or violate your will and my will. God, that's why he said in Deuteronomy 30, he said, before us life, blessing and cursing, life and death. God do that, but he tell us which one we need to choose, that us and another generation, the generation to keep going in our family. But there too, again, if you don't have this knowledge and understand, the enemy going to have you mad at God for the rest of your life, mad with everybody else, because you didn't know your God have this responsibility to us, but we have our one also to God. And that's why I said in Mark 11, he even said in the beginning of his prayer, he said, save. And that is so, even in the beginning of prayer, he said to say, and after the prayer, he said that we have to say so. And there too, again, as I say, this is so important, because as I stated, so many times, hear me good, so many times we want to put everything on God. God got to do this. We need to find out what God done did. As I said, find out what God did and find out what your role is, what my role is. It tells us even in Hebrews, the 11th chapter in that third verse, it says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. That means God had to speak. God had to say something. Words is container. Words is important. Not only just in praying, but after you pray, it's still important. It's a language that we have to speak. Faith have a language, and it's not the same as what we were taught from the natural perspective. But it's words, and our words is so powerful. When David, before we came on, I was thinking about Goliath. David said something before he even fought Goliath. In the midst of him finna fight Goliath, he spoke the word of God. He declared who he was and where he came from. He declared who Goliath, you're a Philistine. You ain't even in covenant with God. You come at me with a sword and a spirit. But he said, I come at you in the name of the Lord. He opened his mouth and he spoke. And some of you need to really examine what you've been saying about your situation. Is it lining up with what God's word say? And like I said, somebody said, well, Prophet, I don't want to hear that no more. I'm tired of you talking about Matthew 18. I'm tired of you talking about what I said. Now, well, I'm sorry. But it ain't going to change because you don't want to hear it. What God said in his word don't change because you and I and anybody else don't want to hear. I found out, God know what he's talking about. I found out that the Bible was written by men inspired by the Holy Spirit. And most of the men that was inspired to write it, they gone. And the thing that really bad witness with my spirit, it had to be God because many things they said have been fulfilled. It's just like in the four gospels, what Jesus said. He said, Jesus fulfilled everything that the prophet said about him. On many occasions when he was healing in Matthew the 8th chapter, in that 16th verse, he tell us, he healed to fulfill the scriptures, what Isaiah said about him. Jesus fulfilled everything. And now those men, those prophets that wrote and spoke what was going to take place with Jesus, they were gone. And the enemy always, and even now, we're living in a time that a lot of people is anti-God and it's anti-Christ. They done departed from God. I was listening at one of my favorite teachers. I like to listen to Lester Sumrall. And God, before that man died, years and years before certain things happened on this earth, God gave him 10 things that were going to happen. And it's happening. And he gone. He's not here no more. He with the Lord. But what he prophesied, what God gave him, is taking place. Stop letting the enemy cause you to debate the Bible. I just don't believe it. I just don't trust it. Just because you don't believe and trust it, that don't change what is written. Who know you as a human better than the one that created the first parents on this earth? Who know you better? David got a revelation from the Lord. The Lord told David, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. He tell him, I know you. You know, told Jeremiah, I know you before you were forming your mother's womb. I know you, really, paraphrase it, from day one to the end of your life. I know. Stop letting the enemy cause you to debate what the words say. You're not supposed to debate it. You're supposed to believe it. That's what Jesus, if you read St. John, the 6th chapter, even in 8th chapter, they was debating with Jesus about Moses and Abraham. They claimed they were Abraham's seed, and they followed Moses. It describes them. He said, if you would have known, Abraham talked about me. He said, I was before Abraham. They want to argue with him. And that's one thing the enemy constantly doing. He constantly got people debate and arguing about what is written. You wasting your time. Listen, let me tell you something. The devil is a pro in arguing. You don't argue with the devil. You don't counsel with the devil. Jesus said, cast them out. Jesus told the devil one occasion that I forbid you to speak. Come out. Be quiet. You don't debate with the devil. That's why some of you being defeated. You have you run around like a dog chasing your tail. You can't figure him out. Don't try to. Tell him what the words say. In Matthew, the 4th chapter, when Jesus was led of the Spirit to be tempted, you don't see nowhere where Jesus debated with the devil. He just said what was written, his written, his written, and his written. And he went on. But some of you constantly debating the scripture. Well, I just don't believe it. And this don't make no sense to me. And why God just say this thing? I don't know all the whys. I don't have all the answers. But I found out that is not what I'm supposed to do. That's what he was telling them. We're supposed to believe on the one that God sent. And he sent Jesus. He sent Jesus to our rescue. That's what we're supposed to believe. Some of the stuff that the enemy got you out there trying to believe and debate about, you don't need to be even putting your mind on that, wasting your time on it. You know, you don't do that. We're supposed to believe. I believe Jesus, the Son of God. I believe God sent Jesus. I do. And I'm so thankful. I believe they hung him high. I believe they stretched him wide. I believe that blood and water came out of him when the man pierced him in the side. I believe when he gave up the ghost and when he said it was finished. I believe he delivered me from the principality of the air. I believe I was translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. That's what I believe. And I'm still learning. It's so much more that I don't know. But I'm standing on what I do know. But I sense this strong. Stop letting the enemy have you to debate about what's written. You supposed to believe. That's what happened with them scribes and Pharisees. They were always trying to debate and want to argue about what Jesus was doing, why he was doing this and why he was doing that. The enemy had them on the uproar. They were, and some of you the same way. I learned that. Just preach the word. Don't try to be debating and arguing with folks. Some folks will come to you, well, I want to know why this. And if you talk to them longer, you'll find out that ain't, their motives is not pure. I don't sit around and argue about the way God said faith supposed to work, but I know faith is important because it's full time in the Bible. It talk about it's impossible to please God without faith. The just shall walk by faith and not by sight. It tells us that. You think I'm going to sit up and argue about it? I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to sit up and argue about what faith is. I'm not going to do it. Because it tells us the just shall live by faith. That's in Habakkuk, the second chapter, the fourth verse. It's in Romans, the first chapter, the 17th verse. It's in Galatians, the third chapter, the 11th verse. It's in Hebrews 10 and 38. And why are you going to sit up there and argue about it? That's why you ain't been delivered. That's why you can't believe and trust God to change your situation for healing in your body, because you constantly letting the enemy cause you to debate what's being said. Why, God, why? When, God, when? Read. Get in the word and read. And I'm not being little of you, but I'm just letting you know the enemy will do that. I learned, and the old saints used to say this, if you don't stand for what God said, you'll believe a lie, and that's true. You'll let the enemy deceive you. That's why James said, don't be just a hearer, but be a doer of the word. If you and I don't stand up and believe what God's word say and trust what he say, what we'll do, we'll believe the lies of the devil. And I'm telling you, that's the number one sin. The number one sin is not adultery. The number one sin is not you know, homosexuality. That's not the number one. The number one sin is not believing and receiving the one that God sent. And that was Jesus. He paid for your sin. He paid for my sin. And once I believe on him and receive him as my Lord and Savior, that's when Paul said, we come to be a new creature in Christ. New creature. Old things done passed away. No, I don't get a new body. I get a new spirit. That old sin nature is gone. I take on the nature of God. That's when I want to live right. I want to do right. That's the way that works. I'm telling you, that's the way that works. But you got to believe. Jesus came and he died for my sins. He paid a price that I don't have to pay. I'm so glad he came. I love what Isaiah 53 says. Let's go there. Let's go to Isaiah and see what Isaiah says. Because I'm telling you, I just sense it so strong in my spirit that someone is listening to this broadcast and you constantly debate. You keep debating when it comes down to the word of God. You let people draw you into these debates. Don't do it. I don't understand how God did what he did in a lot of things. But that's not my responsibility. I'm supposed to believe and trust what he said. Believe, obey, and trust what he said. That's my responsibility. That's all of our responsibility. Regardless of the color of your skin, your culture, that's we supposed to believe. And that's what the enemy don't want you to come into knowledge, to understand. He don't want you to believe on Jesus. He don't want you to believe that you can be set free from any addiction. You can be set free from stress. You can be set free from depression. He don't want you to believe that you can be set free. And if you start trying to figure out why God did this and the way he did, listen, you're going to miss out on a great blessing. You're going to miss out on what can transform your life. You'll miss out on it. And that's the way that works. I'm telling you, in Isaiah 53, and one, here's the who have believed our report. And to whom is the arms of the Lord been revealed? He's talking about Jesus. Who going to believe it? I'm telling you, believing is so powerful. That's why the enemy go to extreme measures to try to get people to doubt what God say. I'm telling you. He don't want you to believe. He don't want you and I to trust what God says. I'm looking it up in the Message Bible. Y'all, this is so important. I'm telling you, it is so important. He said, who believe what we hear and see? Who have thought God's saving power would look like this? And I'm telling you, we got to believe. You got to believe what God got to believe on his son. God sent Jesus to seek and save those that were lost. He even said on many occasions, I didn't come for the way, I came for the sick. I came for the ones that lost. And I'm telling you, the way God created us, it's impossible for us to live on this earth and be successful, to have a sound mind and experience peace without him. You can't. Yeah, money might temporarily satisfy you to a certain degree, but it's a void. So many times I look at and listen at a lot of these pro football players, basketball players, these stars, a lot of them commit suicide, have all the money in the world. Well, you know. But then look what they do because they don't have fulfillment. You know why? They're trying to live life without God. You and I was never created to live life without a union, without a relationship with our Creator. That's the way God created us. You cannot be fulfilled on this earth without him. We were created in his image and his likeness. And it's God's will, as our free choice, to come back to him. He ain't going to make you live right. I said, yeah, for years I was deceived. God get ready for you to live right. You'll live right. That's not Bible. That's not Bible. And I said, even in the time, even when God gave me this message about Matthew 18, God let me know that spirit of strife and division, it done invaded the body of Christ. It's here. From the White House to your house. It's here. All this strife, all this division, all this misunderstanding, all this discord. And it all breeds from what? Pride. That's the enemy. Got us at out with one another. He don't want us to get along. He don't want you to know and get a knowledge and an understanding of revelation of what works. He don't want you to get there and tell us what happened to Jesus. But he did it for all of us. I'm so glad he did. Well, why did God let him come through a woman? Well, I don't know. That's not important to me. What's important to me, what happened after he did, after he obeyed the Father and followed through with everything. Prophet Miller got saved, got delivered from a habit, smoking pot, got delivered from that. I'm so glad. Got delivered from self-righteousness. I'm so glad about it. That's the important thing. And I'm telling you, stop allowing the enemy to have you to debate on the word. Stop doing it. Just believe it. Believe, obey, and trust. That's all God needs you to do. What is the word? Believe on the one that he sent. That's all. And that was some that described in the Pharisee they kept fighting Jesus about. Why he didn't come this way? Why are you doing that? Why are you doing this? Why are you doing that? Don't waste your time on that. Make up in your mind. I believe the Bible is the word of God. I believe Jesus came to seek and serve those of the law. And Jesus, you made a way for me. And I'm lost. I need a Savior. I don't allow myself to get into stuff I didn't have no right getting in. I'm doing, some people doing drugs or whatever. My child lost. You got to believe. You have to believe and trust God. That's the way that works. We have to believe and trust and obey God. I'm telling you, that's the way that works. And like I said, the enemy wants you to keep, don't do it. Believe. I believe Jesus is the Savior of the world. I believe that Jesus, you paid for the sins, for my sin. He paid for all our sins. But God ain't going to make you live right. So many of you, you might be probably tired of hearing, but God ain't going to make you do it. But there too, again, words is so important. And that's what I really want to bring that out. Words is very important, I'm telling you. That's why the Bible says, the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Do you hear me? At the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And Paul even said on one occasion, we have the same spirit of faith that they have. We believe, so we speak. And I'm telling you, your words have power. And like I said, in Mark 11 and 23, he was saying, you got to speak to the mountain. You got to say something. Now, people don't believe it. Just like you can say the right words, you can say the wrong words. Words activate spiritual laws. words activate laws and principles of the kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness. It is so important. You speak to the mountain. You command, if you're a believer, don't you know you can command your body to be healed? You can command the pain to go. Now, something I don't try this. Yeah, you might have didn't do it as long as you should. How long did you do it? How long did you say what the word say? Come on. Did you say it one day? I found out, the Bible said faith come back here and hearing the word of God. And I found out the more I come in agreement by believing and obeying and doing that word, I found out it caused a change in my life. And I'm telling you, your words have power. And like I said, the children of Israel, their number one problem was they did not believe and they did not trust God. And that's why the Bible tells us how a lot of them wander around in the wilderness. They wander around in the wilderness till the first group of people died out. Joshua came, they were one still left. They didn't believe. They didn't obey. They didn't trust what God said. And I'm telling you, I've had people, you ain't got to tell me nothing, prophet. I've been saved over 40. You can be saved over 50 years, my brother and sister. But if you don't believe and obey and keep trusting what God's words say, you will find out. You will find out you will not be able to experience the abundant life that Jesus came. I'm telling you, your words are so important. He tells us in 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, he said, don't murmur and complain. And the children of Israel, they always were murmuring complaining about stuff. They murmuring complained so much, they scratched Moses out, made Moses get mad. Because they was always murmuring and complaining about stuff. Always murmuring and complaining. And it's so much, yeah, I know the inflation done changed. I know that. I see that. I'm experiencing it too. But I said, people tell me, well, you know food, the price on food done increased. I said, yeah, that means that God's provision done increased for me. Y'all, I'm telling you, it's so important. I wish y'all to know this over 20, 30 years ago. See, when I first got saved, I was doing good with what God said. Then I started listening to unbelief and doubt. Messed me up. But it's okay. God is still merciful. Let's go to James. I know I've been saying it for a while. Some say she always said James, but she don't get to James. I'm telling you, your words is important. Please hear me. Your word, what come out of your mouth, what comes out of my mouth is very powerful. I'm going to read it from the Living Bible. I'm going to read it from the Living Translation Bible because it's so important, and I'm telling you, you need to know this. It's God's will for us to be victorious. God want all of us to be victorious. I want you to hear me. That's my Heavenly Father. He wants us to be victorious. One of my grandsons, he played football, and I have one that in basketball. And guess what? Ask their grandparents. It's my desire for them to win. I be wanting them to win every game, not just one of the games, but every game. Now, how much more God, as my Heavenly Father and your Heavenly Father, don't want you and I to win? God wants us to be victorious. God wants us to be victorious. That's what God wants us to do. God wants us to be victorious. Hear me good. It's the enemy that wants you to be defeated. You do not have to live a defeated life. If you get in there and do what Matthew 6:33 said, all of us can be successful. I was talking to one of the minister friend, and y'all, the Bible said hope defer, make you sick. And a lot of times you can be hit by life so much and go through so much. If you don't continue to attend, like Proverbs 4:20 said, the first 20, 21, 22, if you don't do what it says, you can depart from the word. And you'll start allowing what you see, what you feel, it'll get in you. It'll get in you to the point you'll start down God. You'll get mad at God. and lack of knowledge and lack of understanding of what is written, if you don't have knowledge and understanding, don't have the Holy Spirit, and let the Holy Spirit help you to rightly divide the word, help you to understand the word of God, you'll be mad at God all your life. Why you let this happen? Why you took so-and-so? Why? I've been down that road. Okay, I'm in James, the third chapter. Let me read it. I want to read it, and I'm going to take my time reading, because I'm telling you, words have power. Some of you need to repent for all this doubt, all of this mumbling and doubt and unbelief that you've been doing. It's contrary to what God's word said. You ain't getting in agree with him. And that's why in Isaiah, he said, who have believed our report? What report you believe in? You have a choice. You can believe what God said about your situation, your circumstances, your problem, or you can believe what you want to believe. I tell you what, if you doubt and disagree with what God said, you ain't going to have what he said. Listen, what God promised you and I, it do not automatically happen. Please hear me. It don't automatically happen. You have your part to play. It's just like on the team. You play any kind of sport. They have rules and regulations. If you don't follow their instructions, you ain't going to win. You're going to be defeated. And it's not the coach's fault. It's yours if you don't follow. It's the same way with God. But no, people got this man. Yeah, God can do it. God's going to do this with me. God's going to do what he told. God is not going to do what he told you to do and what he told me to do. He's going to do what we can't do. That's why it's so important. Okay, in James, the third chapter, I'm reading from the Living Translation. I'm saying to my, our words is so important. It said, dear brothers and sisters, not many of you shall become teachers in the church. For we who teach will be judged by God with greater scrutiny. We all make many mistakes, but those who control their tongue, listen, those who can control their tongue can also control themselves in every other way. Y'all listen, what you say will come out of your mouth. I know you don't want to hear it, but just don't change the dial. Don't turn me off. So God wants you to stop blaming him for what's happening in your life. Your tongue got everything to do with whether your prayers be answered or not. You ain't, I'm telling you. That's what, if you go Mark 11, 23, read 22, 23, you, it tell you. Even said, when one, you know, a lot of people, you speak to your mouth, but if when you praying, if you know you got out and unforgiving, a bitterness, resentment, you got to forgive. No, the devil had you to sit around and reason that, well, you know what they did, and they did this, and they did this. God didn't tell you to try to sit around and figure out what folk did to you. He said, forgive. Be forgiven even as God for Christ's sake forgave you. Oh, yeah, I've been down that road, too. Y'all, listen, I don't die there and cross every T. I miss it, too. But the old folk used to say, when you know better, you do better. The Bible said, once you find the light, walk therein. And I'm telling you, you need to know what God requires you to do and stop blaming everybody else. But those who control their tongues can also control themselves in every other way. We can make a large horse turn around and go wherever we want to by means of a small bit in its mouth. And a tiny rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot wants it to go. Even though the wind is strong, so also the tongue is a small thing, but what enormous damage it can do. Our words can do a lot of damage. Bitterness, hatred, strife, resentment. It is released by your words, by words. You can, that's why Paul said, neither let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that is edifying to the hearer. You encourage people with words, you know. Yeah, you might can have an envelope with some money in it and pass out on to people, to somebody. And you, if you don't open your mouth, they'll open it up and they're single, but I guarantee you, their joy level go from one dimension to another. If you say, I want to bless you, I had you on my mind. What you saying, prophet? I'm saying that what come out of your mouth, the power of your words, You can change your situation with your words. I remember one time Joy Meyer gave a good illustration on TV. She was saying how a farmer plant seed, and she said, our words is a seed, and that's right. Every time you say so, it's either good seed or a bad seed. And in the way God, one of God's spiritual laws, you reap what you sow. Now, a lot of people look at that scripture, and they'll look at it for money. They'll look at it for how people are mistreated. But listen, whatever you sow with this mouth of yours, them seeds too, you sow enough of bad seeds, them seeds coming back, they're going to come up. I have to learn that, and I'm still learning that. I'm still digesting that word. It's just so, also the tongue is a small thing, but what enormous damage it can do. A tiny spark can set a great forest on fire, and that's true. Bitterness is released by your words. Hatred, strife, discord. It starts with what's coming out of your mouth. And a lot of times, we don't think what we say is important. Yes, it is. And Father, I pray and ask you, open up the eyes of the people. Give them ears to hear what you're saying through this word you have given me. Lord, give them an understanding. Cause them to hear what you are saying. Y'all listen, there's many voices out there. Hear me good. There's many voices is out. Hear me good. But if you don't know what's written, how you going to discern which voice of God, which voice is the devil? All these evil voices. I got people that, well, Prophet Miller, I don't hear the word. Honey, I was saved for a long time. Went to church. Them folks hurt me, and I said, forget. God, wait a minute. Here was, yeah. The enemy might have used their voice to say something, but it makes a difference if you don't develop a personal relationship with God one-on-one. You read his word. But what enormous damage it can do. A tiny spark can set a great forest on fire, and the tongue is a flame of fire. It is full of weakness that can run your whole life. It can turn the entire course of your life into a blazing flame of destruction. But it is set on fire by hell itself. People can tame all kind of animals and birds and reptiles and fishes. But no one can tame the tongue. It is an uncontrollable evil full of deadly poison. Sometimes it praises the Lord and Father, and sometimes it breaks out into a curse against those who have been made in the image of God. And so blessing and curses come pouring out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. Does a spring or water bubble out with both fresh water and bitter water? Can you pick olives from a fig tree? A fig from a grapevine? No. And you can't draw fresh water from a salty pool. If you are wise and understand God's way, live a life of steady goodness so that only good deeds will pour forth. And if you don't brag about the good you do, when you will be truly wise. But if you are bitterly jealous and there is self-ambition in your heart, don't brag about being wise. That is the worst kind of lie. For jealousy, selfishness is not God's kind of wisdom. Such things are earthly, unspiritually, and motivated by the devil. You hear what he said? He said jealousy, selfishness is not God's kind of wisdom. Such things are earthly, unspiritually, and motivated by the devil. For wherever there is jealous and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder in every kind of evil. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is full of all pure. It is also peace, loving, gentle at all times, willing to yield to others. It is full of mercy and good deeds. It shows no partiality, and it's always sincere. And those who are peaceful will plant seed of peace and reap a harvest of goodness. Do you hear that? Now, this ain't what Apostle Miller said, but I'm reading what it's written, what God said about it. See, the epistles tell us how to live, how to conduct ourselves as born-again believers. These epistles wasn't written to the sinner. They're written to the righteous. How are we supposed to conduct ourselves in an evil world, a fallen world? Yeah, we're supposed to witness to sinners and let them know you don't have to stay in the shape that you're in. But if you want to know how to live right, because they, you know, like, well, honey, ain't nobody living right. Okay, if you want to go that way, read your Bible. Now, you got to believe somebody. And I choose to believe the Bible. If you don't want to believe the minister of the gospel, read the Bible. Believe what the Bible say. Believe what the Bible say. I can only have, the Bible say I have what I say, not what I pray. And that's when I found out that principle is saying, what is you saying? We closing, we coming in. Go back to Mark 11. Let's go back to Mark 11 and see what it say. They go back, and there's many scriptures in the Bible that talk about prayer, how you supposed to pray, how you supposed to conduct yourself after. I'm telling you, it's in there. But this is just one I choose to use. In Mark 11 and 23, it says, "For truly I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, and he shall have whatsoever he saith." When we pray, that's when we pray, releasing our faith. But I'm telling you, after you pray, you and I have to learn that it's something that we have to say. Come on now. And then Matthew 17, we can go to Matthew 17 and 19. It said, "Then came the disciples to Jesus Christ and said, why could not we cast you out, the spirit?" See, from the time that in Matthew 10, I believe, those disciples were given authority to cast out devil, to lay hands on the sick and they recover. But when they got down to this man's son that was a lunatic, they had some way departed from faith. They had got in doubt, in unbelief. And that's why when they put Jesus aside, they asked him the 20 verse. And Jesus said unto them, they said, "Jesus, why we couldn't do this? You got some saints saying, I'm a believer. Now, I'm supposed to have authority over sickness and disease. Why it ain't? I'm not seeing the manifestation?" It's unbelief and doubt. Just because you say you believe. I was talking to this person ain't been too long ago, and they were saying some of the things they done experienced. And they said, "You know what I done found out? I just can't just believe God and obey God, but I got to trust God. I got to trust God if the situation going longer than what I thought before I see the manifest." And y'all, that's true. You got to believe him. You got to obey what he said, and then you got to trust him. It's the old saying said, you got to believe God when you can't trace him. You know. Because God always let me tell it, throw a curveball. I'm thinking he's going to do it one way. He'll do it another way. And we all have to just trust what he's believe, obey, and trust. And wait on the matter with expectation. And why you wait, thank him. Why you wait, praise him. That's the way that works. Why are you waiting on God? Praise him and thank him for the manifest. Because God is not a man that he will lie. See, if you meditating on that in the midst of waiting on your situation to change, you can, guess what? You can be at peace. I ain't got time running out to go in Philippians where he said, whatsoever things are true. Some of you want a peace of mind, but you're thinking on the wrong thing. You're thinking about the situation. You think about how you going to forgive somebody if you always letting the devil, you always rehearsing what people done said and did. How you going to operate? How you going to walk in forgiveness? Now, if you sitting around meditating on, well, God said, I got to forgive. But if you meditating on, rehearsing, they did this, they said this and this, you ain't going, how you going to believe God and trust him? Yeah, you might, see, the children of Israel, they believed that God was able to take them in the promised land, but they didn't trust him. You can't just believe that God is able and don't trust him to do it. But in Matthew 17, in that 20 verse, and Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. See, in that 19 verse, he said, they pull him aside and ask Jesus, why we couldn't do what you just did? And he said in the 20 verse, and Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for truly I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Now, what we do, if you ain't careful, a lot of times, if we don't get suddenly immediately resourced when we speak to something, we get frustrated. Now, listen at this man of God about two months now, and he made a statement. It helped me because I was believing God. I was speaking to some things, and I didn't see no change. And about maybe a couple of weeks, I found myself getting frustrated. And this man blessed me. He said, God showed him, whenever you getting frustrated about something, you out of faith. You into doubt. You in unbelief now. And then you got to see, a lot of people don't see sin. I mean, a lot of people don't see unbelief after sin. Unbelief is a sin, y'all. Why do you think people fornicate? They don't believe that they're not supposed to. So God said, don't fornicate. And because they don't believe it, they fornicate. And because fornication is a sin. That's what it is. Now, yeah, you might not see it that way, but that's the way God sees it. All sin is down what Jesus came to do. That's what all sin is. Down what Jesus came to do and what Jesus accomplished. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And this what he said, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, this circumstance, this problem, remove hence in yonder place, hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. You see that? Then look at Matthew 21 and 21. I'm telling you, it's all in him. And he was talking about the fig tree. There in that 21 verse. And very, very, I say unto you, if ye have faith, listen, and doubt not, ye shall not only do this, what he did to the fig tree, this is which is done, and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask and pray, believing, ye shall receive. So you got to believe before you receive. You got to believe before you see the manifestation. And I'm telling you, it's just like if God sent a prophetic word. God gave me a word on Monday. He said, decree and tell the people that their circumstances is changing, is turning. Now, that was the word God gave me. Now, if you didn't believe and trust that word, you won't see that happen. Come on now. Believing what God say is going to always be contrary at the moment to your circumstances and to your problem. Because faith is calling things it's not, as though they were according to God's eyesight. The crooked have been made straight, but you got to believe it. And you got to trust what he says. Come on now. This is a good word. Don't count me out. Or don't turn the dial. Because I done been where some of you done been. I don't want to hear that mess no more. I don't hear enough of that. I don't want to hear it no more. I don't believe it no more. I'm tired of hearing it. I'm tired of people saying this. I'm tired of people saying that. I don't want to hear it no more. Any failure, it would, listen, and I don't mean this in a rude way. If you didn't see the promise of God manifest in your life, you holding the short end of the stick. It wasn't God's fault. And as I stated in the beginning, please don't allow the enemy to cause you to give up on God. God ain't gave up on you. He'll never give up on you because he loves you. We can give up on ourselves. And one thing all of us need to give up on, doing it our way. This is not Burger King. The kingdom of God is not a dip, not a chip in a dip, y'all. It's for real. And like I told you by faith, God choose for us to operate and to live by faith like he do. Our Heavenly Father is a faith father. Faith is the currency to the kingdom. We use faith in the kingdom of God to receive and experience our inheritance. It's faith. Everything we do. That's why when in Hebrew it says it's impossible to please him without faith. Now, since it's impossible, we've seen in four places talk about faith. Well, we need to know about faith. We need to find out what is faith. How do I operate in faith? And I'm telling you, as we said in the beginning, if you focus more on your problem, more on the situation than you do the word of God, I'm telling you right now, you ain't going to be able to trust. Yeah, you're going to believe God is. You're going to believe God able. But you ain't going to be able to trust him or obey him when it comes down to your situation. I'm telling you. Father, I thank you right now for this word. I thank you for what you have given all of us today. And Father, I even pray, forgive us when we allow our circumstances to dictate to us and cause us to doubt what your word says. Right now, in the name of Jesus, I come against that spirit of detraction, the spirit of interference. I bind it right now in the name of Jesus. And Father, I pray, as Paul prayed, I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father glory, may give unto those that have tuned in the spirit of wisdom, revelation, and knowledge of you, that the eyes of their understanding would be enlightened, that they would know what is the hope of your calling. I even pray, God, bring enlightenment about Proverbs 4:20. When you said, my son, attend to my word. Pay attention to what my words say. Don't let it depart from you. Don't lose sight of what my words say. Father, so many people is casting away their confidence in you. They lose sight of your word because they exhort and magnify what they see and what they hear, what they constantly hear instead of what your words say. I pray, Father, for mercy. I pray for enlightenment and understanding. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, this was Apostle William Ann Miller. Thank you for tuning in to the broadcast. I want you to know that God loves you. He really do. God really loves you. God is really concerned about you, but you have your part to play. I pray that you enjoy the rest of your evening.